Welcome everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. This is open house for the APR online study course and open house for the APR examination. And my name is Michael Henry. I am a technical facilitator for the APR online study course. And I've got with me two great people. I've got Shannon Tipton, who is a recent APR. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you, Michael. Hello, everyone.
Really glad that you're here. And we also have with us Kathy Mulvihill, Accreditation Manager for the APR. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for inviting us.
Great, I'm glad you're here. And this session really is to give some background information on the APR examination, also to talk a little bit about study practices. We'll also talk just a little bit about professional development and the role of accreditation in professional development, and also why go for the APR. We'll also talk about the examination process. We'll look a little bit at the KSAs, the knowledge, skills, and abilities that are required to pass the APR examination, and talk about study tips. We'll also look at, for those of you who are joining who have been to one of these before, know that we've recently updated the APR online study course, and there's a great deal of new features that we've added recently. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And really, most importantly, we want to make sure that you feel comfortable asking questions throughout. So we will ask for you to type into the chat window, and we have several people who are online who are not shy, so don't be shy. Go ahead and add comments or questions in the chat window, and we will answer questions as they come up. And Kathy, I'm wondering if I continue, could you just tell? Yeah, there she goes. That's great. Wonderful. So, and on that, I would love to ask you, Kathy, to introduce yourself and share your role in the APR process.
Certainly. As Michael mentioned, my name is Kathy Mulvihill. I'm the accreditation manager for the accreditation program. I have been with PRSA for a number of years managing the APR program. I'm the staff liaison for the Universal Accreditation Board, or we commonly call it as UAB. And I'm your primary contact for all things APR, as I like to say, in terms of any kind of questions relating from a candidate standpoint, from an APR chair standpoint, from just general maintenance questions, all of that, I'm here to help.
Great. Thank you very much, Kathy. And we also have with us, as I mentioned before, Shannon Tipton. And Shannon, your role in this session, I think, is significant in the sense that you can share some of your most recent experiences with the APR examination and your perspective, sort of looking backwards on the experience, is very helpful for people who are looking to start the APR process. Can you introduce yourself and then share a bit about your experience?
Definitely. My name's Shannon Tipton, and I think I'm going to be on one of your slides listed as Margaret Shannon Tipton, so just so you know, that's the same person. Margaret Shannon is my name, but I go by Shannon. And I work at a law firm. I've been at a law firm in downtown Dallas for the last 8 years as a PR manager. And in probably like the first 5 years I was here, you know, everything was fine. I was doing great, but as each year went by, I kept thinking, you know, I kind of need to refresh my whole, I would say, approach to PR, and kind of, I was starting to fall into a routine where everything happened seasonally, and it just became kind of mechanical. You know, it's press releases, new hires, announcing, the pitching stories, that kind of thing. And I felt like, as I was reading articles and looking at the PRSA website, that I could probably take it up a notch if I went ahead and tried for my APR. So I signed up for a course, this actual cohort summer course, and I did that in the summer of 2011 and had completed it. I started it in June and completed it by August.
And it was very motivating. It motivated me to refresh all of the education I had and to refresh my practice and my skills, and kind of invigorated me to really want to go and take the exam and do an exceptional job making a great case study and doing all the you know, completing all the elements that make you a successful APR. So that's what I did. The first step was to take this course, and then from there, I can take you through what I did. I'm not sure if you want me to do that now or later.
Well, I think it would be good to just sort of share maybe one...
Kind of an abbreviated...
Right, very, very abbreviated. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so abbreviated, what I did is I decided after I took the course that I would carry my study guide around with me, because I ride the train, I'm a commuter, and just study it regularly because I knew I would take the exam. I had not scheduled the exam yet because my biggest goal after taking the course was to really invest time and effort into a good case study and to doing something that would not only benefit my organization I was working for, but it would have all the elements and all the things needed to prepare me for the readiness review. So putting that case study together and actually, you know, doing a project that was relevant enough to be used as my readiness review presentation is what I did. So I combined work with, you know, education with practice, and took it from there. And that's what I actually did for the next 8 months after I completed the course.
Well, that's great, Shannon. And Shannon, you did come back to help other candidates, and I recall you also did share your case or your readiness review with other APR facilitators. So we're really glad to have you with us, Shannon. And the study process and actually the examination is based on the KSAs, for the knowledge, skills, and abilities that have been identified to pass the APR examination. Kathy, could you sort of briefly share about the landmark practice analysis and how the examination sort of grew out of that?
Certainly. The examination, as we like to call them, KSAs, knowledge, skills, and abilities, they're based on the things that are tested in the examination. Sorry, my brain was moving faster than my mouth there. Are research-based. So basically, we're testing the information on the examination on information that we've researched in terms of what a public relations professional does on a day-to-day basis and within the whole scope of the public relations profession. We did quantitative, qualitative research and found some core curriculum, core knowledge, skills, and abilities that PR professionals do, and that's what the practice analysis came. That's what the information out of the practice analysis came to create the accreditation examination.
Great, and the KSAs are divided into topic areas, and this is important because we, at least in the online study course, we have developed modules for each of the KSAs within that came out of the practice examination, the practice study. So one question that we ask new people is, what's in it for you? We know that a motivating force that many people have different reasons for doing the examination. And Shannon, I'm going to come back to you just for a moment to talk just a little bit about sort of the reason for taking the examination. You shared that earlier, but do you have in retrospect a motivation that you'd like to share with the group?
I think one of the things that motivated me is seeing that many of my peers or people that maybe I didn't personally know but that had similar positions in other organizations in Dallas had the APR behind their name. And I felt, you know, a lot of them were younger than I was, and I said, okay, you know, I had completed college and I had completed like a master's program, but I felt like I was missing out. Like there was a reason why there were these people that I respected in my industry and in my area of study and of expertise that had that. And so that was one of the motivating factors, was to, you know, be the best, do everything that you possibly can to be the best in your in your practice. And then the other was also, of course, just to be more competitive in case I decided to look for a new position. That motivated me. And then the third motivator was I felt taking the course would reinvigorate me because, again, I felt being in the same organization for 5 years and seeing kind of a cyclical PR process happening, I felt like taking the course would help me find new ways to bring energy into what I was doing, into my projects and my programs.
Great, Shannon. And I know that the UAB, the Universal Accreditation Board, which is the authority that administers the APR examination, has done some research into why others go through the process. Kathy, can you share some of the results from of why others go through the process?
Yes, absolutely. The research was done on a survey of accredited members, and basically we found that out of the accredited members that were surveyed, that of course they view the accreditation the profession rather as strategic and ethical. The majority of them do, and with the accreditation process, it kind of makes it into a science, the profession into a science of public relations, in terms of there are certain core key things that are viewable and presentable within the profession itself. And with that, it would build accountability in terms of ethical knowledge and legal knowledge of the profession. And the examination tests a uniformity of all of the common KSAs tested. So with all of that, the survey was strategical, ethical, and we were happy to see that going through the accreditation process, it made you into that strategical, ethical thinking process.
And that's great. And so we'd like to turn the tables right now and just ask you to go ahead and share, type into the chat window and share either why you got your APR or why you are interested in getting your APR. And please type that into the chat window and we'll get a sense of who's where the motivations are.
Be shy.
Right.
I think we have a couple of shy people.
I guess.
Here we go. Just
That's
takes
great.
A few minutes for everything to kick in.
There you go. People were thinking. That's great. No, and there's some great comments that are coming up there. That's excellent. And we really want you to consider those motivations as you go through the process, because the process can take some time. So what we want to do now is turn to a discussion of the process itself. And I like to give sort of the shorthand of the entire process. And we really do, and I think that everyone understands, that there is a certain level of study about the scope and the process before you actually apply for your examination. You can actually even prepare your readiness review before you apply. You can have other people review it, give you some pointers, and then you can actually apply for the examination when you feel that you're ready to take that examination. You can, after that, Kathy will talk about the specifics, and you can schedule your readiness review and then your computer-based examination. But one of the things we like to say is study first rather than jumping in. Because we have a lot of people, Kathy, I think, that say, you know, I think the APR is a good idea. I'll apply for the examination. Do you want to comment on that and then go?
Yeah, I agree with you. Study first in terms of find out what KSAs are tested, find out the generalities about the program in terms of the KSAs that are tested, the study materials, what kind of test taker you are in terms or studier. I shouldn't even say test taker. That's toward the very end. What kind of studier you are and how much time you can devote each week or each day or each month to studying for the process. The process itself, in a nutshell, is it sounds very it's very brief. You download the readiness review questionnaire, and in that it has the eligibility of it has specific questions that you need to answer regarding different sections on that questionnaire: a public relations plan, your public relations experience, looking at the KSAs and talking about that from a self-assessment point of view. So you would download the questionnaire, think about the answers to that questionnaire, choose a plan that's best for those particular answers. Once you feel like you can complete that pretty good, then I would say complete the application for the APR process, and that's available online at PRaccreditation.org. At the same time, when you're completing the questionnaire and looking at it, and I would be in contact to request your readiness review panel, saying that you're nearly done, let's start requesting the panel. The first step, the second step of the readiness review is actually going in front of a panel of three accredited members and presenting that questionnaire in an oral format, whereas you would go into much more detail about the public relations plan that you've summarized, your experience, and answer any questions that the panelists might have regarding that information. Once you're advanced from the readiness review process, you continue to study for the computer-based examination, which is a multiple-choice examination, and you would take the examination. Now, this whole process, and I think this on the next slide, it talks about it's a year's activity. You have, of course, you can initiate the process whenever you want. It's an ongoing application process. You know, we accept applications all year round. The process, the examination fee is $385 at the time of the application, or we also have a way to split the payment by adding a $25 application fee to make the payments $205 and $205 after they, one at the time of application and one after the candidate advances readiness review. Notifications vary from 2 to 4 weeks after each of these processes from the application. You submit your application, within 2 to 4 weeks you get an eligibility saying you're ready. Similarly with the notification for readiness review and taking the exam. Again, I can't reiterate the fact that planning is key in terms of, think about yourself in terms of how you are a studier, how you are a, what knowledge you think you may need to be brushed up on. So look at the KSAs and materials and the study courses and the jump starts and take advantage of as much as you can. I mean, a few are listed here on this slide. There is a free APR study guide that's downloadable. Some chapters do jump starts. The online study course, which you'll learn a little bit about in a few minutes. Readiness review instructions for candidates. You know, all of that information can be found on the website, and it's really a good place to start when you're looking at the whole picture.
Right, and Fern actually made a little comment in the chat window, and I'd almost like to bring in Shannon to comment on this. One of the things we do in the online course is we actually tell people not to work on their readiness review. It's kind of nice to sort of see what's expected of you at the beginning, but we actually encourage people to go through the process of really studying the RPI, making sure you're very clear about the RPIE process, the research planning, implementation, and evaluation of programs, and also the components of a communication plan, understanding exactly how to put those together in a very, what Fern likes to call a facile way. Shannon, do you want to comment about that? Do you think it's a good idea to perhaps be aware of the readiness review, but as you're studying, really focus on those planning components?
Definitely agree, and I can tell you that it's very common for us to get into a job and feel like we know how to execute a PR plan or a PR project and do it really well, but until you take this course or at least read through the study guide and go through those steps, and Fern actually has some of her worksheets actually take you through the steps for each one of the elements of doing the plan of research, evaluation, planning, etc. You don't realize how much goes into it, and there's just so much that has to be done. I mean, just the research alone can consume a good amount of time. And we're not, you don't just come out of college knowing how to do that. And to get the APR and to go through the readiness review, you very much have to touch on all four components of making a true public relations program work.
Great. And of course, the UAB has provided the APR study guide, which was recently updated. And it's a great foundation for study, but it's really that practical application of the concepts that's very important. So we want to turn our attention right now to the APR online study course, which really is available to people primarily was developed because there are people that are not in a metropolitan area where they can go to a study session face-to-face. And in addition, there were time constraints either from work or from family that made it difficult for some people to actually study. We do have an online course that is completely self-paced. However, we also have webcasts just like this one that we offer each week in a cohort group, and we're starting that next week. So those of you that are considering starting your APR, now is an excellent time to do that. Kathy, every time I put this slide together, it just warms my heart. And we've got Fern and Mitch, and we've got
100%.
It's just fantastic.
Yes, I agree with you.
It's so fantastic.
You'll see here, Michael just put up all of the people who went through the APR online course within the last couple of months. From January through May, these people became accredited, and these are all online graduates, and we're so happy to see that list grow and grow and grow.
It's just fantastic, and I want to be honest with you. I recognize almost every single name on here as people that we worked with in a great deal. So we get to know each other, even though we don't meet each other face-to-face. Shannon, we've never met each other, have we?
We have not, no.
We have not, but we've spent a lot of time.
I feel like I know you pretty well.
That's great. Well, I look forward to meeting you face-to-face at some point, but it's what's wonderful about that is that we really do, in the online course, we really do get a good sort of collegial experience that happens in the course. As I mentioned before, it is a self-paced course. However, we do have sort of this idea of cohorts that meet weekly. Some study groups around the country have begun to use the curriculum in their face-to-face group. And the nice thing about that is that some of those groups, if someone travels or can't make some of the face-to-face meetings, they can stay up to date on the study process by going to the online course. So, however, we do know that learning online is a challenge, and so what we do is make the learning an active learning experience. We use a case study approach to ask candidates to share their materials with experienced APRs. We have obviously learning interactions that are available online, as many of you have seen, and also we want you to apply what you learn. There are no lectures per se. It's more of a seminar kind of approach where the students and the participants share presentations and get feedback. I'd like to ask a quick question, and hopefully you won't be too shy. Answer quickly. Have you ever taken an online course before? Just say yes or no in the chat window, and let us know sort of where you are. Well, we're kind of about half and half in terms of this group here, and that's great. Because of time, I'm actually going to skip right now to a demonstration of the online course, because this is, as I mentioned before, a time when we're rolling out many new features. One feature, for example, on the sign-in page, when you sign in, of course, you do have a link that if you are forgetting your password, you can click on that link. But also, we do have a chat mechanism that's available if you need additional support. That is available only when there is someone there to answer your questions. So feel free to use that as you go through the course. When you enter the course, you'll see many different features, but it's important to know that you, to get to the curriculum for the APR Online Study Course, you click on Courses and Groups, and that will get you to the course map. And the course map has all of the content that you need to study. So you'll see the readings, you'll see the activities, and in some cases you'll see little checks to see whether or not you've actually completed all of the material in a particular module. There are 10 modules in the course, and each one, as I mentioned before, is based on the KSAs that were identified to pass the APR examination. We have multimedia presentations that are done by APRs from around the country. Some of them you may recognize or know. And then in the reading section, we have many handouts, as Shannon pointed out. Fern, who's we're glad to see Fern as a part of the group here today. We also have many of Fern's writings, as well as other writings from experts in the field of public relations to help you through the materials. And then we have activities for each of the modules. And when you click on those activities, you'll see lots of other information. And we also have something that is, we're not sure how well it's going to work, actually. We think it's going to work very well. And that is that you can actually link your accounts, whether they be LinkedIn, you can link your Google Docs to the course so that you can easily share documents that are stored in Google Docs. And this is very helpful if you want to share documents that you're working on, draft documents that you're working on. If you're working on a case or a presentation, you can share those with the APR facilitators. You can share them with your coach. You can also see that you can share Skype. And in addition, we do have the ability to have you add additional email accounts or to change your email account very easily, or add an SMS or a text message for your contact information. So you can, if you prefer, to get text messages from APR facilitators and others in the course, then you can do that and register your phone. You can also control your notification preferences. So if you want to be contacted not daily but weekly, or if you want to have information sent in a digest, you can do that. You can also control different areas. If you want to have certain areas where you're contacted immediately, and other areas, other comments or other information, given different kinds of notifications. You have complete control over that. The online course, as I mentioned before, has lots of interactions that are available. Most of them we try to get you thinking about the application of some of theories and of models of communication. Also, we try to put simulations together so that you're put into a situation where you consider yourself the public relations director for a particular organization. As in this case, you're a public relations director for an energy company. And so one of the things they try to do in the APR is broaden your understanding of public relations. You might be put into situations that are unfamiliar to you. You can also follow your progress. It's a little bit different than what we've had before. For those of you who are familiar with the other system, you'll see check marks by each of the activities rather than a percentage mark. So you'll be able to just click on an activity and complete it from it's called grades page. We're trying to change that to progress, but that is the way that works. And then also we've sort of really heightened the ability for you to use the discussion board. You can collapse the discussion board so that you only receive new unread messages, and the search mechanism is greater, and you can send private messages back to individuals in the discussion area. So you can also, some of you have said that you wanted to be able to delete your postings, so you can edit and delete each of your postings by clicking on the little gear mechanism on a discussion post. As many of you know, we do have webcasts, and we have weekly webcasts that go through all of the materials in the modules. There are archive recordings that are available usually the next day. And in the online, in the new online course, we now have the ability to really integrate your calendar. So if you want to, you can use a calendar feed, which will populate the dates and the times and the information from the course calendar onto your own personal calendar. And you'll also be able to see a greater detail of what's happening in each of the events on the course calendar. We also made it possible for people to opt in to specific groups. We encourage people to find a study partner or to find an APR or coach, and that's done by just simply opting into a group, and then in that group they match each other up to find an APR mentor or a coach. And also, we made it easy for people to join groups, or in some cases, if you decide to leave a group, you'll also be able to leave the group by making that that choice yourself as well. We have some great facilitators in the online course, some of whom are here with us today, and we're very, very happy to have the facilitators. And we're trying more and more to find ways to match facilitators up with participants in the course. The cohort group, I'm going to wrap this up at this point. The cohort group is available as an online study group, and what we do is share notes, we share case problems, and we also share practice for the readiness review. And I'm wondering if I can bring in Shannon just for a moment to comment just a little bit about the webcasts. There are times, Shannon, when some people on one extreme will think they just need to come to the webcasts, and others don't believe that they need to go to a webcast. Can you share just a little bit about how you felt the live webcast helped you, or what role they played in your study process?
I think that one of the biggest benefits I got from listening to it live was I would volunteer to, for example, prepare slides, or there will be a chance when you take this course to sign up for a case study, to present a case study. And in both cases, you are, you know, it's like a job. It's preparing you for not only educating yourself, but you're educating the group as a whole. And then you have the experts like Fern and yourself, Michael, that can chime in and help. And this especially helped me when I presented the case study. And that's not I would not have gotten that benefit had I not been participating in web livecasts, because I needed people who would actually be sitting on a readiness review panel to see what I had presented or what I thought I had presented for a case study, if that was going to hit the mark, and to get their feedback and to understand what my areas of weakness were and where I needed to focus in order to prepare a solid readiness review project in front of a real panel. And you don't get that if you skip these live webcasts and if you opt out of presenting or being participative. So I thoroughly encourage all of you not only to participate in the live webcast, but also to try and get a case study presented and work on it, because that's such relevant experience for you to have.
Great. Thank you very much, Shannon. And I really do think that there is a great deal of support that candidates get from other candidates. One of the things that oftentimes when you enter a study course, sometimes you believe, or people I think perceive, that they're receiving the information from experts. But frankly, there's a great opportunity to learn by actually sharing what you know with other candidates. Can you talk just a little bit about the process that we go through when we have case problems that are shared, when we solicit feedback from other candidates in the session?
Talk about when you present the case study?
Yes. You know how we...
The case study, you have to, you know, for example, mine was about a wastewater plant, or it was something along the lines of, it was certainly out of my element of comfort, because I'm in a professional services organization. So it gives you have the scenario where you are the PR person, director for whatever this organization is, and then it gives you all these different scenarios, all this stuff that you have to look at, and you really have to understand, first of all, and define what the problem is. And then from there, you have to be able to succinctly define a goal and then identify your objectives and your goals. And one of the things that you're all going to step in, unless you just automatically have this in your head, and I know I didn't and many of my fellow candidates didn't, is just the basic differences between what an objective is and what a goal is and how important that is. It's something that, unless you have this training, it's not intuitive. It doesn't just come to you. You just think everything's a goal. But when you really start sitting down and defining what your problem is, defining what your objectives are and what you need to measure to determine whether that problem or challenge is being addressed, it just makes a huge difference. In having people that have been accredited and have done this kind of walk you through it and make you understand it better is just a huge benefit. Very eye-opening.
That's great. It actually, I find that the other difficulty people have is the difference between a strategy and a tactic. And I know for a fact that there are questions on the examination that where it's really important that you should be able to very quickly understand the difference and understand how to apply a strategy as opposed to how to use tactics. Well, and the cohort study group, we meet weekly on Tuesday evenings. This fall we'll be meeting at Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. As Shannon mentioned, we share notes based on the KSAs. We do scenario practice questions to help people understand the types and the format of questions on the examinations. We also look at book reviews, share case problems, and do the readiness review practice. We also have other activities that are available to share ethics and business presentations. So we also, as I mentioned before, have groups that do use the curriculum in face-to-face study groups. We can set up special group areas for those study groups. So if your study group is interested in using the online course as a curriculum for your face-to-face group, just be sure to let us know and we'll set up a group area for you. The online study course is $195 for member organizations. It's $169 for groups of five or more. It is available 24/7, and then we also do have the monthly webcasts and weekly webcasts for the cohort groups. We do one thing that we offer is there are lots of candidates that have gone through the course, taken the examination, and then they come back and they share their experience. And I find it valuable to read through that and get good sense of the tips of what how some people went through and studied the process. Hillary Maxfield, for example, participated in two cohort groups, the fall and the summer group. She looked at the Cutlip Center and Broom Effective Public Relations and then took notes on that text. She had the AP style book and looked more closely at media law. She read through the study guide and took notes on that. Did a practice readiness review in a cohort group. So in other words, you don't have to be alone doing a readiness review. You can share what you're putting together in your readiness review in a in your cohort group in the online course. She worked with the terminology, and then after passing the readiness review, went on to study the KSAs again for the examination. Passed the readiness review and then scheduled the examination in December. She felt that it was helpful to her job and in her current role. Shannon, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to that, sort of on the tip side for the study?
Well, the tip side, I would say, first and foremost, don't rush yourself. A lot of people think that as soon as they finish the course, they need to schedule the exam. And I took the approach of I needed to spend some time practicing what I learned, and that's what I did. I took about 8 months just to work on my project that became the readiness review project I presented. So give yourself time. Don't. If you're one of those people that's not going to study at least 3 hours a day, don't schedule the exam 2 months after you finish this course. But here's what I did. Once I completed my project and presented for the readiness review and did that, then I would suggest that you kind of try and get that exam in the next couple of months because it's fresh and you've just sat before the board and kind of, I wouldn't go over 2 or 3 months past that. So, for example, I passed my readiness review mid-December, took my exam the first day of March. And that gave me 3 very concentrated months, or maybe let's just say 2.5 concentrated months, to really just wrap everything up. And a lot of what I was doing was reviewing things that I'd already learned.
Great. Thank you very much, Shannon. And we do have a number of people that actually take the online course and actually work with the APR materials as a professional development, as a foundation for strategic skill, ethics and law, crisis communication, and then, of course, that communication planning process. So the APR really is an important part of professional development. And in fact, Kathy, if I can, I'd like to get a quick comment from you about when you become an APR, there's a requirement to continue to stay connected with professional development for public relations. Do you want to talk just a little bit about the maintenance for APR?
Yes, absolutely. Once a person becomes accredited, they have to fulfill maintenance of accreditation requirements. It is over a 3-year period, once you become accredited, you're notified, you get an assignment date of when you're due in that 3-year period. So it's a 3-year period, you would accumulate a total of points over that 3-year period. The point values, you would have to attend things like continuing education seminars, professional development seminars, work on a master's. If you're going for a master's in public relations, some of those courses would count towards your maintenance of accreditation requirements. Helping others become accredited, you get maintenance points for becoming mentors, becoming an online facilitator, which is definitely needed for the online course, as you just saw. you would get maintenance points for helping upkeep and maintaining the examination questions, which are done through APRs on a volunteer basis. We have a whole process, a separate process for that. You also can serve as within your local chapter or community as on board of directors and serving on committees that are public relations or serving in a public relations capacity within your local boards or communities. And you also would get points for serving as pro bono work, doing things outside, unpaid, that would, in a public relations fashion, would qualify for points. Most commonly, I find the pro bono work is things like parents doing things for their school, their kids' school associations or parents' associations, things like that. You see, you have to kind of think outside the box in terms of what you can do, but you do have to maintain your accreditation and you have to upkeep your skills on an ongoing basis. And there are, you know, there are certain times when you need to file, and if you don't file, you'll get, you know, a notice. And if you still don't file, you will your APR will be revoked, and at that point, you need to take the exam all over again. So it's still, it has some teeth to it in terms of maintaining your professional skills and keeping them current.
Great, thank you very much, Kathy. And so the APR process really is a part of a professional development process. We want to turn now to your questions. I've seen both you, Shannon, and Kathy have been, and actually several others. Fern's been answering some questions, and Christian as well. We'd like to turn to your questions. Do you have a think about where you are right now in the APR process? Feel free to just give us some feedback, share a little bit about, are you just starting out? Are you ready to begin? Are you ready to take the examination? Have you already taken the examination? You're looking to support the efforts of others and getting their APR. Do you have specific questions about the examination? And are there some questions, Kathy and Shannon, that you saw, that you answered, that you feel need to be reinforced by talking about them a little bit? Shannon, I saw you answer a couple of questions there.
One of the questions was about where you get the case studies if you can't get them from work, and I answered that they give you, in this course, they give you some case studies that you can choose from, or you can actually pull one out of the paper if you want to do that, or pull a scenario out of something like a hot news topic and develop the case study from that.
Excellent. And Don just posted a question. I have a degree in communications, but more on the journalism side than PR. I didn't take any PR classes after graduation. I worked as communication coordinator for 6 years, but more of a tactician, and didn't have the opportunity to create plans or implement strategies. And quite honestly, Don, that's a very common kind of approach or person that would study for the APR, because the APR process is really going to fill in some of those gaps. Kathy, do you want to talk sort of about the different kinds of people that come to the APR?
Sure, and you took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I thought of when I saw that question. People come to the accreditation process in various stages of their career, practitioner that's more tactically oriented to a more strategist and that has more experience. In the instance of the guidelines are recommended of 5 years of more of full-time public relations experience in such that or teaching in public relations for 5 years or more. We use that as a guide because we felt and proven within the practice analysis survey at the 5 year mark, people start to become exposed to the strategic planning process within their company. Not necessarily the case all the time, but at that time period, they start to become exposed. In your instance, what I would recommend that you do, Dawn, is kind of take a look at the readiness review questionnaire first. and start your study process before you actually apply. Take a look at the questionnaire, specifically the section 2 about the planning process and how detailed the questions are in terms of what you need to answer. And you then think about your overall experience within the company and your public relations experience in general, and see if you can answer those questions within one plan. If you're all over the board, if you're very tactically oriented, you may need to go out and get additional experience, either pro bono or other opportunities to expose yourself to more of a strategic role. So in your instance, I would definitely recommend study first and go through the process, because that way you might be exposed to that information and have the opportunity to go through a complete strategic plan being exposed to the study process.
And Jillian's asking, how quickly can I get the APR completed? And, of course, that really depends on your situation. I really don't believe I see people successfully go through in less than 3 to 6 months. Generally, people spend about a year preparing for and completing the examination, and some people take more time than that, which is why we sort of reinforce this idea of preparing yourself before you actually apply for the examination, because there is a deadline. You need to take the examination within 1 year after applying. So we do encourage you to do that. And Richelin's asking, is there anything to do between now and the start of the cohort on the 27th? And, of course, I'm happy to hear that you're... it's really great that you're ready to go. Some reference books have newer editions. Should we get those editions listed? Ms. Shannon, do you want to take that question?
There were a couple of cases where I didn't have the latest edition when I studied, and it wasn't like a deal breaker. If anything, if there was any discrepancy in what the APR course wanted you to know and the text was a little different, the instructors caught it. I think there was one model or theory that was I think it was different in the book than it was, and so the handouts and the worksheets you get guide you in the right direction. But, you know, I mean, ideally, you would probably want to get the latest edition, but I didn't in all cases. I bought three of the books, and one of them was older edition. It wasn't the new one.
Great. And I'm actually not sure about this question. I signed up for the online course last week, just starting out. What are your thoughts about using the old PR process for the readiness review as opposed to doing a new project? And I'm actually not sure. And I think actually...
I can say something about
this. Yes, go ahead.
I sat on a readiness review panel.
Yeah.
And the lady that presented, she presented two different... Rather than doing just one project that she presented as her readiness review, she showed three of them, and one of them was one she would have done and how she would have done it back when she was at, I think she worked in a school district, and so she took us through that and what she would have done had she had all the tools and had all, you know, the budget and how she would have done that. And then she did another one that was current and related to her current position. But overall, when you're preparing for the readiness review, and they will tell you this, that your main thing is to demonstrate that you understand the theories and that you know how to apply the theories. And not every person's going to be in a job where you have a research budget and you can pay somebody to, you know, a third party to do surveys for you, things like that. So some of that stuff you include in the readiness review as things that you would do if you had that unlimited budget or you had those resources to use.
Great. And Fern did respond to Carol as well, and she said, Carol, you could use a situation with which you are familiar, but my guess is that you would find yourself talking about what was done at that time and what you would have done differently now. And that's actually a really common occurrence. Don also.
Yeah, and I mirror that that comment. I do get that question quite often from candidates who want to use a plan that's not completely current, but sort of current in terms of, or it's weak in certain areas. And I do recommend just what Shannon said from a panelist, from a candidate's perspective. If they have two plans and they're strong in different areas, they feel free to use those two plans, but just be prepared to answer questions about those two plans. Be familiar with everything involved in those two plans, not only the strong areas, but also the weak areas, because you may get questions about that.
And Shannon, do you want to take this quickly? Don asks, how do you weed through the details within a question to get at the heart of what they're really looking for?
I would recommend a lot of practice. And I will tell you, when you take the exam, your weeding skills are going to be very much needed, because many of the questions could have several right answers or several wrong answers, and they're, you know, That's the whole point, is you have to find the best answer for that particular scenario. So I would recommend you pay attention to the case studies. You read through there's a sample exam. Anytime you can be exposed to any of the sample questions, and in this cohort group you're about to do, you get to practice writing questions. And as your group goes through those questions, I think that Michael and who the facilitators are will help you kind of learn those weeding skills. But understand, there's no cheat sheet. I mean, a lot of this is about applying theory, and in theory, there's no right or wrong. And many times, you know, it just depends on. It just depends on being able to stay focused, read it, and feel sincerely what you think is the right or wrong answer. It's tough. So I say practice makes perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, we spend a lot of time looking at, as Shannon knows, we spend a lot of time looking at the formatting of the question so that you're familiar with what you're looking at when you look at a question. These questions are different than an academic question that you find on an examination. They're more scenario-based. They're more about applying what you would do in a certain situation. And there are some qualities of these, the characteristics of these questions that you really should be familiar with. So that brings us to the next question, which is, to prepare for the cohort group, you said we need to study. What do we need to study? Does that mean purchasing some recommended books? Kathy, I don't know. I would say stay close to the APR study guide, which is not to be purchased, but we may want you to get some of the short bookshelves of recommended text.
Yeah, I would say yes to that. I would say at least take a look at the knowledge, skills, and abilities that are tested within the accreditation process, not only with the computer-based examination, but also with the readiness review process. There are characteristics that are tested in both processes. Also take a look at the study guide, which kind of gives you an overview of the accreditation process, tips for the written or the computer-based examination, tips for the readiness review. It gives you specifics about the parametric locations, and then it starts talking about an introduction to the various areas, the competency areas that we test, to just start your knowledge base and familiarity with what's tested in the process. I think that study first, and then as you go through the cohort, you're going to dive into a much more detail. I definitely would recommend you at least look at, maybe not purchase right away, but look at one or two, if you know somebody that has them on the bookshelf, look at one or two of the texts that cover all of the KSA areas, because that really is a good reference for people to look back to. Some are really textbooky type readers, and others are very more language-based type readers. You have to know yourself and see which one would put you to sleep versus which one would actually, you know, give you the knowledge without putting you to sleep. It depends on whatever, you know, however your reading style is too.
That's great, Kathy. And we actually do book reviews in the cohort session, so that you get a sense of the strengths and weaknesses of different texts, because there are 10 texts in the recommended bookshelf, and it's not required to go out and buy all of them. Shannon, there was that last question was one that I want to get a real quick because we're basically out of time, but a really quick comment from you. And this is, I think, a little bit of a controversial question. Should we have practice questions, lots and lots of practice questions, or should we keep the current approach, which is basically to have people study the types of questions and to talk about the questions? What is your and just answer honestly, do you think we should just find ways to get lots of practice questions out there, or keep this process of asking candidates to create their own questions?
I think definitely I learned more from having to create my own questions.
Yeah.
And I think that you can't, this isn't like golf where if you keep doing it, you're going to get better and better and better. This is more about, not that not everybody gets better when they golf, you know what I'm saying? This is more like, it's about absorbing knowledge and absorbing practice and theory and being able to apply that to all kinds of different scenarios. So the more you focus on the case studies and kind of, you know, looking at, maybe even look at some Silver Anvil winners, go back and look at on the PRSA site, look at some of those. That helps you kind of understand how they apply theory to their programs. And that helps you kind of understand what, you know, what is being looked for as far as being accredited in this, being able to take a problem or a challenge and apply the RPIE to it. And, you know, I mean, you could answer 40 questions a day and you may not pass the exam. You have to understand the knowledge. Having some practice questions, having some case study knowledge, sitting through these courses and sharing information with the facilitators and the leaders of the courses are going to help you, as well as, you know, studying that study guide.
Shannon, if I could give you a virtual hug, I would right now, because that I was prepared for you to say, no, we just need practice questions. But I get that everybody asks for practice questions, but what we really have to focus on is thinking. It's about how to think about these questions, not finding the right answer. So thank you very much.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Kathy Mulvihill, for being with us. Thank you for being with
us
today. I'm glad you're here. We'll do
Thanks
it again.
Thanks, everybody. We'll
do it again soon. I know we will. And Shannon, thank you very much for joining us as well. We're really happy that you were here.
Thank you very much. It was nice to talk to all of you.
Great. Thank you very much, everybody. So we are starting a new cohort next week. So if you are thinking about taking the online study course, we're happy to have you join. You see the link there. I'll be sending it out as an email reminder after this. Also, please do feel free to contact Kathy Mulvihill if you have questions. We're happy to have Kathy answer those questions via the phone. So thank you all very much for being with us today, and we'll hopefully hear about your success getting your APR very soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.